Good morning. Before I introduce myself, I'm just going to start off by reading a poem. This poem's written by a lady called Donna Ashworth, and she's not a Christian, so it has a caveat with it that it does mention luck as being part of what they believe in, but we obviously don't believe in luck in that way. But I felt that this poem was very appropriate in every other way. It's called Mother's Day. If Mother's Day is hard for you, and there are many reasons why it could be, remember, sweet one, how loved you are, how your very existence itself is a miracle of science, nature, and luck, and how luck may wane, but love never does. If you have a mother in heaven, bring her here today and celebrate the legacy she leaves behind daily. If you never knew a mother's love, be aware you can create it. You can be the start of that love anew and spread it to everyone in your world, child, friend, or stranger. You can do that. If Mother's Day is hard for you, find a way, my friend, a way to celebrate creation, to celebrate nurture, to celebrate the people in your life who have loved you. Many of us mother every day in many ways, and not always with our children. Happy Mother's Day. So many of you do know me, but for those of you who don't, my name is Jane, and I've been a member of this congregation for more years than I'd like to count, really. I've got four children, three of whom are here today, and they're all wonderful adults now. When I was asked to give this talk, I said yes immediately to Paula, but the moment I came off the phone, the second I came off the phone, I thought, what have I done? I began to doubt myself. All these negative thoughts poured into my head. I can't talk to such a big audience. I can't give the word of God. I'm not a preacher. And I was just about to pick up the phone and call Paula back to say, look, Paula, I'm sorry. I know I said yes, but I really can't do this. I wanted to say I've changed my mind. And I even thought about calling upon ChatGPT and thinking maybe ChatGPT could write a sermon for me. For those of you who don't know ChatGPT, it's an AI app, an artificial intelligence, who can write just pretty much anything for you. But it doesn't give the word of God. So that was when God kind of gave me a little bit of a kick up the backside and said, look, come on, Jane. You don't ask an AI to give you the right words to say, you ask me. So that was when I took a deep breath and I reached for my Bible and I began to talk to God. So today is Mothering Sunday. Some of you will have been woken in the morning with a tray of breakfast in bed, a cup of tea, and perhaps been showered with gifts. However, we do need to remember that today is not a happy, joyful, celebratory day for many people. I know there will be people listening to this talk who are desperate to become parents, and perhaps have been trying for a long time without success. God wants you to know that He sees you. He understands how hard it is to hope and be let down so many times. There will be people here who perhaps have children with additional needs who don't understand what today is all about and so who are unable to acknowledge their love for you as a mother. God sees you. There will be people like me whose mothers have died and for whom today will always be a day tinged with sadness. He sees us too. And there will be people who have lost a child, either to death or alienation, and who will find today unbearably sad. Oh, God sees your grieving hearts too. Sadness hurts so much more if you hold on to it too tightly. It says in Psalm 58, verse 8, you have collected all my tears in your bottle. God feels your sadness and pain as though it were his own, and he wants to give you comfort. So if you do want to reach out for prayer after the service or even during the service, we've got a corner here and people will join you if you go over there, or you can talk to somebody in your pew who's a Christian. So in 1 Samuel 1:20 to 28, we met Hannah, a woman who had longed for a child, who had prayed fervently and ultimately dedicated her son Samuel to God's service. But I don't think this passage is simply about one mother's love. It's about the wider calling to nurture, dedicate, and trust that God does see each one of us and that he has a purpose for each of our lives. Hannah's journey, like many of ours, was not an easy one. She had endured years of longing and sorrow before Samuel's birth. In verse 8, it said that her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Eventually, in her pain, she turned to God in prayer. When I was younger, the story of Hannah was a little bit puzzling to me. I kind of wondered why somebody who had longed so hard for a child would give him back to God as soon as he was 3 years old, would kind of almost lose him. Why would she sacrifice that? It was the thing that she had longed for more than anything else, and yet she sacrificed it. It's true that parents do sacrifice many things for the love of their children, to provide for their needs. But why was Hannah's sacrifice such that she was meant to only raise him until he was 3 and then give her child to God's service? I think I found it strange because I don't think I fully understood the motivation behind Hannah's sacrifice. And I've come up with 3 reasons why Hannah may have made that choice to give Samuel back to God. Number 1, I think she was able to sacrifice raising her son at home because she had faith in a loving God. Her heartfelt prayer came from a place, yes, of desperation, but to a God who she believed would listen and would care for her. Secondly, I think she sacrificed raising her son because of her gratitude for God for answering her prayers. She recognized that that gift of a son was just that, a special gift, and that God had provided her what she most wanted, which was why she was then able to offer him back to God. When we take up the monetary offering, we often use the words, "Lord, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you." This is gratitude, and that's what I think enabled Hannah to give her son back to God. Thirdly, she was able to trust Samuel to God's service because she was faithful to him. She had made a vow, and she followed through. She could have said her prayer, received her son, and then done nothing about the promise she'd made to God, and yet she was faithful, obedient. Can I just make a point here? Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that you guys with 2 and 3 year olds should leave them all at church. We don't have a vicar or a youth worker at the moment, so they'd probably go feral, or perhaps Paula would come enough to look after them all, and I don't think she or Gary would appreciate that. But you can bring your children into God's presence through praying with them at home, through guiding them in their faith as they grow, and of course through making sure that they are part of a church family, such as the one we have here at Holy Trinity, including having them baptized into this family. The greatest gift that you can give your child is a knowledge and the love for God. So Hannah's love for Samuel was deep, but not possessive. It was selfless. She understood that love is not about holding on, but about nurturing, guiding, and ultimately entrusting those we love to God. This is the heart of mothering, whether we're biological mothers, adoptive mothers, spiritual mothers, or simply people who nurture and guide others in love. Mothering is a calling for all. I see the word mothering as having a broader meaning than the word motherhood. Mothering speaks of nurture. It speaks of protection and encouragement, attributes that we can all offer to others. Some of us mother through mentoring, guiding the next generation in faith and wisdom and love. Some mother through friendship, offering a listening ear or a word of encouragement. Others mother through service, caring for the vulnerable, creating safe spaces for others to grow and flourish. And all of us, at some time in our lives, are called to receive mothering, accepting the love and care of those who nurture us. Hannah's story reminds us that love is a gift to be shared, and it takes many forms. As I said earlier, one of the most powerful parts of the story is Hannah's willingness to entrust Samuel to God. As she brings him to the temple, she has no idea what his future holds for him, but, and this is the most important part, she knows that God does. Love always requires trust. We can't control everything about those we love. We can't control everything they do. We can't control everything they watch, everything they see, everything they hear. Sometimes I know, especially as a parent of young adults, that these things can be quite frightening. We see the people we love making mistakes and perhaps suffering the consequences, and we're often powerless to do anything to alter their path. We can't control them, but we can place them in God's hands. So, Mothering Sunday is a day to be thankful for all who embody the nurturing love of God. Traditionally on this day, young girls who were in service would return to their mother church, the church where they grew up to worship. So this got me thinking, does the church itself have a mothering role? Like a parent, a good church feeds us with the word of God. It teaches us the way of faith. It gives us comfort in times of trouble. And it is where we are equipped and sent out to become disciples. Like a parent, a good church is not possessive. It prepares us for life in the real world, and when we are ready, allows us to fledge the nest and fly free. Like a good parent, the church does not give in to our every whim, but it challenges us, calling us to grow, to serve, and to bear fruit in the world. Just as a parent nurtures her child to maturity, so the church brings us to spiritual maturity so that we can reflect the love of God to others. So just to finish, let me just recap. Mothering Sunday is not a day exclusively for mothers. It is for all who give and receive love. Whether we celebrate with joy or remember with sadness, we are all held in the love of God, the one who nurtures us all. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks for those who have nurtured us, for the beautiful legacy they have left with us. Let us embrace the calling to love and nurture those around us. And like Hannah, help us to trust that you do see and hold each one of us at all times, whether we're feeling joy, sadness, or pain. Amen.